There are people who may, by accident or intentionally, want to lead you in a wrong direction. And the first scripture that I have is a warning that's given to us by Jesus himself, where he talks to his disciples and he says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." And it's unclear from the wording there whether he's saying that it is possible for the elect to be deceived or not. I would assume, since he's telling people that he believes to be elect about deception, that it is possible to be deceived. And I've known some great people in the Church of God tradition who have been deceived in their lives. Interestingly, when searching for the subject of deception, I came upon this pie graph that lists some of the various sources of deception. And so this afternoon, what I'd like to do is to go through the various sources. There's 12 that are listed. I'll just go through the list quickly. It says Satan, education, society, government, news media, friends, family, employer, advertising, churches, other religions, and there's a mystery one that's there. What is missing? What other source of deception do we need to be careful of? Interestingly, we're going to come to it, and David is the only one I see that's sneaking a look at the back of the handout to come to the answer ahead of time. But we'll come to that. So again, in the sermon that I've titled The Many Faces of Deception, we're now going to cover some of the 12 points of deception. The first source of deception that we need to be careful of in our lives is that of Satan. And let's go through a few scriptures that talk about Satan's power to deceive. In Revelation 12:9 it says, "So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." In Revelation 20, verses 1 to 3, it says, "And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and the chain in his hand. And he laid a hold of that dragon, the serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more until the 1,000 years were finished." So here again we see Satan is a powerful source for deception of the whole world and a source of deception that at some point in the future is going to be bound up by God so that he'll no longer be able to deceive the nations. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 to 4, it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So again, this verse is talking about how Satan is referred to as the God of this age. And a lot of people don't give Satan the credit for the deception he's done over the whole world, that the God that many people end up worshiping, not knowing that they're not worshiping the true God, is actually Satan. And again, it's Paul in 2 Corinthians that's pointing this out. So how does Satan deceive? And again, I've listed here 7 different points on how Satan deceives people. And again, we're going to go through the 7 right now. One source of deception is false doctrine. An example of that is in 2 Timothy, where it says, "A servant of the eternal must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So when people are deceived, they often, in rebellion, do things in opposition to God's will and God's church might be wanting to do. And here in 2 Timothy, Paul is pointing out to Timothy to be on the lookout for this. Another thing Satan does to deceive is he uses lust. Satan sends temptation through the media, movies, television, magazines, the internet, and through carnal and covetous individuals. We need to pray as Jesus taught us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Another source of temptation from Satan is pride and vanity and arrogance. In Genesis 3 it says, "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die, for God knows the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So again, Satan here knew the woman, and he knows mankind as well. He knows what's going to be effective, and what happened to be effective in this case was playing on the pride and vanity that everyone has. You'll surely not die, so that's something they want to hear. And God knows the day your eyes will be opened, you'll be like God. Well, everybody would be like God. And so that kind of puffery is feeding directly into what Satan would want us to believe. And that deception leads us away from God. Deception number 4 is lying. In John 8 it says, "You Pharisees are of your father the devil, and your desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." There is no truth in Satan. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Christ could not give a more powerful rebuke against Satan for being a liar and a warning to the church to be careful of the lies from Satan. Another source of deception that comes from Satan is that of false dreams, visions, and miracles. And once again, in Matthew 24, it says, "For false Christs, false prophets will show great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect." And so, sometime in the future, when somebody shows a great sign or a wonder, is that the proof of whether they're of God or not? According to this verse here, it's not the proof as to whether they're of God, because there is such a thing as false signs and false wonders. So we're equipped now to know that when false miracles might occur in the future, there's more. We have to look beyond those false miracles so that we won't be deceived. And again, the place that you look beyond is, what is it that the person that's doing these false signs and miracles is trying to lead you to? What is his doctrine? What is he trying to tell us of? Is he leading people to God and to the truth? Or is he, you know, building himself up and leading them away from God? A sixth type of deception that Satan uses is that of bitterness. Christians need to pray for their enemies. Bless those who curse you. That's the Christian way. That's how we can overcome Satan's infectious attitude of hate and bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 speaks of a root of bitterness that defiles. So again, in Hebrews, Paul talks about this little nagging thing that gets inside of you. He calls it a root of bitterness. And that nagging little thing just ends up consuming your mind and causing you to ruminate on whatever it is that is nagging you and bothering you. And that root of bitterness will drive you away from God and his ways. And so Paul is very strongly speaking against that and warning people of Satan's use of that root of bitterness to cause people to leave the church. I didn't get my way again. And so people get upset. They let that roll around in their mind, and that root of bitterness can drive them away. And the seventh point of elements that Satan uses to deceive us is a lack of faith. In Ephesians 6:16 it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, in which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." So again, Satan fires fiery darts at us, and it's the shield of faith that's going to help us with our lack of faith. So of the 12 points of how we can be deceived or where we can be deceived, Satan was one source. The next source, number two, is education. For that, I talk about how the world's educational systems are awesome, but sometimes have deceptive purposes opposite to God's purposes. And I list some examples. Teaching sex education to children without teaching morality. It's poison. there are desires that are built into people, and when you only teach about the physical aspect of it without the morality that should be assigned to it, without the understanding that proper proper love and marriage is a requirement before you get into a sexual relationship and having children, it's poison. So teaching sex education to children without teaching morality has caused lots of problems in this world, and we just have to look at the rate of abortion, the rate of sexually transmitted diseases, to see the fruit of following this way of deception. Teaching the wonders of creation without acknowledging the Creator. So again, here we get into the common discussion about creation and evolution, where in schools, they're afraid to even introduce God as an option. So it's, many teachers know it's against their school board policy to teach on this, and if they teach about God, if they teach about a Creator, if they teach about intelligent design, then they can be banned as a teacher. They can be fired. And the challenge we have is in the educational institutions that are so great, that's an example of something that's not so great. Teaching history selectively to hide truths about Marxism's failure, for example. So again, when we ask, if you ask someone on the street today, again, Marxism is something we've had the benefit to learn about because Adrian has made that a focus in showing how Marxism and Islam are in some ways linked together, and that the goal of the Marxists is being accomplished by the infiltration of Islam into our society. But if you ask people about, what is Marxism, 9 out of 10 people really have no clue. Those that had to suffer through Marxist and communist dictatorships, the time of the Second World War, the time of in China when the oppressions happened in China, in Cuba, socialism, Marxism, communism, all of those isms have had a devastating effect on the world, killing tens of millions, even hundreds of millions of people under these brutal regimes. They all start out with a nice goal, and they all get funneled down into a brutal dictator that takes over. And so so it's amazing that knowledge like that is not being transferred to our kids and even to us. And finally, teaching gibberish about gender, hurt feelings, not evaluating ideas, and not all ideas are equally valid. So one of the challenges, one of the things we would hope would be taught in school is how to think, how to evaluate something is to be good and of merit. And the education system is not doing that, and that leaves us open to deception. Point number three, we can be deceived by society. The scientific advances in society are awesome, but there are problems with empty values they sometimes seek to pass on. In 1 John 2, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world..." And it kind of categorizes three areas of sin or three areas that are missing the bullseye. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the lust of the flesh is sensual things. Lust of the eyes is things you can see. The pride of life. We talked about pride when we talked about Eve and how Satan was able to deceive her by playing on her pride. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So again, society has things in it that if we want to rise above them, we can live forever. We can abide forever. But we have to be on the lookout for deception from within society. Point number four is government has deception for us. Gord, my co-member in the Kingston area, often tells me that Canada is the best country in the whole world. I remember he told Bill Watson, Canada is the best country in the whole world. And Bill, hey, because Bill's a big supporter of the United States. But Canada is not without problems. Deception in Canada today, for example, abortion is legal. So it's the law of the land says that babies, and again in Canada, it's we'll say worse than in any jurisdiction in the world. Any other civilized nation in the world puts limits on abortion. But in Canada, there is zero limits. And so we hear cases where, you know, while the baby is being delivered through the birth canal, an abortion is conducted to kill the baby. So a perfectly viable, you know, human being is destroyed. In Canada, gay marriage is legal. Transgender behavior is normal and accepted. Protesting about these things can be thought of as a thought crime and can involve your children being taken away. So, for example, in Ontario, teachers don't have to tell you if your child is thinking about being transgender because they don't want... So even though you're the parents, they're instructed not to tell you. So it's not that they have the option not to tell you. They're instructed to not tell parents that a child is indicating they may want to live a transgender life. So this is a 5-year-old, a 6-year-old, a 7-year-old, because they're not sure if the parents might be homophobic or against transgender. And so the law in Ontario is crazy to say that parents cannot be the ones that can properly work with their kids through these kinds of problems. The government ran on the promise to be transparent, but there's too many scandals they seek to hide. And so it's kind of sad to see when organizations see things that are deceiving people, that are deceptive, that are criminal in some cases, and they want to shine a light on it, and they ask the government for the information on various things, and the government says, no, that's classified information, or that's privileged information. Well, again, when you run for office and say that you're going to be more transparent, and then you get into office, and then you end up being less transparent, usually the reason that they're hiding something is because they're trying to deceive people. They don't want the actual information to get out. A fifth source of deception is the news media. When I grew up, Walter Cronkite was the most trusted man in America. Does anybody here know Walter Cronkite? Awesome. The mainstream media was gleeful this year to report Donald Trump had an approval rating of just 42%. What they didn't report was that the media themselves only have an approval rating of 36%, so they were less popular than even Donald Trump that they were harping about. And Congress's popularity was only 19%, so that's even a smaller fraction. Favoritism and confirmation bias cause people who claim to be neutral to actually be unbalanced in their reporting. So favoritism is just where, if I'm a conservative, and I like that I'm going to tend to like and favor conservative people and be nice to them in my reporting. If I'm a liberal, confirmation bias says when a liberal does something wrong, oh well, that's an unusual activity for them, and so I won't bother reporting on that one. And that confirmation bias is just confirming that because I like liberals in this case, then they give a break to other liberals, and so you end up in the news media getting an unbalanced report. The next few graphics talk about the idea of fake news, how to spot fake news, and what to do about it, and it talks about checking it out. So again, there's several different captions. To spot fake news, you consider the source. But even there, some of the most rock-bottom sources in society that we would normally say are going to be, you know, guaranteed to be correct, they're not correct because of their biases. And so considering the source only says that the New York Times should be more accurate than Billy Bob's blog. But often, Billy Bob's blog can be just as accurate or more accurate, so you have to dig further than just considering the source. Check the author, check the date, check your biases, read beyond, look for supporting sources, look to see if something is a joke or not, and ask the experts. In the graphic beside it, it talks about places you can check. So Snopes.com is a great place for checking things that very often people will be sending these things around the internet of some news story that's outrageous, and 9 out of 10 times when I check it against that website, they'll come out with kind of a fact check, and they'll say, this part of what is in their article is correct, and this part is wrong. Or it could be something that's totally wrong. And so before you forward something that you get on the internet, one of the things you might want to do is check with that website there. As it says, Google it, check with Snopes.com. And again, the goal is to understand the truth and to not spread something that's fake news. And the next part of this graphic here, again, is talking about fake news. I won't bother reading all of it, but again, what it's trying to do is identify the different types of news out there and how it can be considered fake news. So, for example, sometimes things are just clear propaganda. It's intended to give you their message. And so if you know that, if they're saying that they're unbiased and balanced, that's one thing. But when you get propaganda, you're getting a very one-sided view of an argument. And so it's important to understand if that's the case or not. Clickbait is an example where on the internet, they get paid more money if they can have more ads show up on the screen. And every time you click somewhere, they can bring up another batch of ads. And so they get money for that. And so it's in their interest to be vague in their stories so that you're going to click to get the next page of their story. And again, they can then put up more advertising and get more money. And so clickbait is an example of that eye-catching material that's intended to get you to keep clicking. The warning that's at the bottom of the article talks about digging deeper, that you're looking for the false attributions to be made where something's being attributed to someone else that is not true. Counterfeits are being put in, misleading things are being done, and the content is being doctored. Again, there's a new book out on the Donald Trump presidency, and one of the things that's being claimed now is that if you look at the history of the author, he's made up lots of stuff in the past to try to get people riled up. And so that's, again, one of their defenses is some of this stuff is just totally made up. But we need to be on the lookout for doctored content. To move on, another source of deception in our lives can be our friends. Jesus says in Luke 22:48, perhaps one of the hardest things that someone would ever hear Christ saying to them, where Christ says, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" So something that's meant to be a sign of affection between friends, and Jesus was, you know, kind of mind-boggled. Are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? That's the total opposite of friendship. And Jesus saw the irony in it, and when he pointed it out to Judas, I'm sure that went a long way to Judas being broken up over what ended up happening. So I've got a list here of how to spot a fake friend. Again, there's a couple of them that even have a scripture listed beside them, but a fake friend, they're going to be two-faced. They smile and laugh at you, but they'll slander you behind your back. They want to know your information in secret so they can gossip to others. Psalms has an example of that. They always gossip about their other friends, and so why are you different when you assume that they're not going to gossip about you? When you're alone with each other, it's never a problem. But when others are around, they try to make you look bad. They always belittle you, your talents, your accomplishments. They always make fun of you. Everything is a competition to them. They always try to one-up on you. They purposely give you bad advice so you don't succeed or surpass them in something. When they're around others, they act like they don't know you. When you make a mistake, they always gloat. When they use you for what you have and know, they always try to take advantage of you. They're never there when you need them, in your time of need, and when you're going through bad times, they run. They never build you up and make you a better person, but are always bringing you down. They close their mouths at the wrong times. They let you go down the wrong path and allow you to make mistakes. They're critical. They always see the bad. They never see the good. And they are manipulative. So again, those are some things to be on the lookout for fake friends. And the hope is, in our lifetime, that we'll be able to find some true friends. Some people that are not like this. Some people who will build you up. Some people who will stop you from making mistakes. Who will make sure that you don't go down the wrong path. And again, sometimes it's not easy to be a true friend to someone. It's not always, a true friend isn't always the one that's the agreeable yes man. Sometimes a true friend is the one that's taking you aside and telling you the way things are in a way that might not be comfortable, but it's true because they care about you and you understand it when someone does that. So the important, I guess, lesson here, important thing to be aware of is to be aware of who your true friends are and cling to those true friends, but also be careful because there are friends out there that are there to deceive, and the deception of a friend can be really bitter. A few more graphics. This message was supposed to be given just before Christmas, and so the one in the middle there, how people look at you when you tell them that Christmas is pagan, was very timely a month ago. And again, the wording in the last box there I thought was appropriate, where it says, "The saddest thing about betrayal is that it never comes from your enemies. You're only going to be betrayed by your friends." And so, because you expect enemies to be doing nasty things to you, that's not a betrayal. That's just enemies being enemies. But when betrayal occurs, it's because a friend has gone against you. Other sources of deception. Number 8, employers. Many people work for companies that are honorable and ethical. Yet sometimes companies do horrible things to try to stay alive. We have the example here in the Ottawa congregation. We had someone who was part of Nortel. And Nortel, just before they went under, made an offer to their employees. They opened up the retirement system, and they said, instead of just taking your regular pension, you can buy all your, you can take your pension and buy Nortel shares. And the shares went from, I don't even remember where the high was. It was $100 or $200 at one point, down to being worth less than a dollar. And so any employee that traded in their pension for these Nortel shares that were just, you know, reaching the moon, were deceived by their employer. And again, with your pension, when you're aging, it's a pretty rotten thing to do as an employer. Proverbs 11:1 says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the eternal, but a just weight is his delight." God loves it when you deal fairly with people, and he hates it when you betray people. Point number 9 in deception is deception in advertising. I expect everyone here has been disappointed that something they purchased did not live up to the claims of the advertiser. Misleading advertising has its own vocabulary of every form of dishonesty. Here's some examples: shading of the truth, exaggeration, cheating, failure to keep promises, betrayal of confidence, flattery, or fudging. Those are all terms dealing with deceptive advertising. Point number 10, for sources of deception are churches. Some churches are sincere and wrong. Some churches are not even sincere with their teaching and wrong. We expect this from a church called the Church of Satan. We expect them to be wrong. We're disappointed when leading megachurches avoid topics like sin and abortion. And we're shocked to read books by liberal Anglicans like Shelby Spong or leaders in the United Church of Canada who openly ridicule the idea of a virgin birth, Jesus' death and resurrection, hell, etc., etc. Church becomes about social justice and not the revealed truth of Scripture. So there's a whole gamut of churches out there that are full of deception. They claim to be based on the Bible, and they might read the Bible once in a while to put in a bit of spice, but their message is primarily whatever it is they want to teach, whether it's social justice or whatever. And so we have a warning in Matthew that says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." Point number 11 about sources of deception is other religions. When your religion is not built on the true foundation of God and his truth, anything goes. As Adrian pointed out, Muslims will lie to non-Muslims if it's to their advantage. They have a name for it: Taqiyya. The Quran says Allah is the best liar there is. Deceitful, dishonest, scheming, plotting. For other religions, which teach a different way of life and a different reward after death, their very existence is misleading and deceiving. So people don't look for the truth in other religions. 1 Timothy 4 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." So, we've gone through 11 of the 12, and which is the one, which source of deception is the one that wasn't talked about earlier? Self-deception. Perhaps the most dangerous deception is when you turn off your mind and just choose to be misled. Isaiah 30:10 says, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceits. This talks about how bad Israel was, where they're just telling the seers and the prophets, you know, don't tell us the truth, just tell us smooth things. We just want to hear nice things. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we do not have any sin, we are deceiving ourselves. We're not being truthful to ourselves. So part of what we need to do as Christians is to keep looking inward at ourselves. That's a big part of our Christian walk, is the self-awareness that comes from looking at ourselves. Obadiah 1:3 says, you have been deceived by your own pride, because you live in a rock fortress and you make your home high in the mountains. Who can ever reach his way up here, you ask boastfully. So again, when things get comfortable and things are pretty safe around you, then it opens you up to being a little too confident that nothing can go wrong. What Obadiah says is, you've been deceived, and it's your pride that has deceived you. 2 Peter 3 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of the word of God. So again, we have an example here where scoffers are going to come in the last days and they're going to say, Jesus walked the earth 2,000 years ago. That was like a long time. And they use that and they say, you know, since the fathers fell asleep, you know, since our great-great-great-grandfathers, you know, he's not been present. And so why do you listen to what Jesus says to you? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you believe this stuff? That's what the scoffers are going to say. And the way that it's described here by Peter, he's saying they willingly are ignorant. So it's not that they've necessarily had the wool pulled over their eyes, but they willingly are choosing to teach that or to believe that, because then that lets them live however they want. If there's no God, then there's no rule book that says how I need to live my life. And so, if I believe this, I can live my life wildly. If I believe this, I have to live my life by the Ten Commandments and by the Word of God. And some people willingly choose to believe what they know to be false. In Revelation 3 it says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you, buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So again, the condition here is that when things are fairly prosperous, then we often will turn away from God. In my many years with the Church of God, I've had the benefit of hearing some awesome sermons on the subject of deception. And here are some notes that I've taken from some of those awesome sermons. So we don't need necessarily to cover them. I'll let you take them home and read them. But I'll just cover a couple of the points here that really made an impression on me and caused me to, you know, when I'm creating a book of things that I want to really be sure I remember, things that shaped my mind and my life, some of these sermons came in there because they were that important to how I live my life. And so one of the first points there on how not to be deceived is, realize the source of your present knowledge. When I was a 15-year-old coming into the church, my present knowledge was just what I happened to learn in school and perhaps from my parents. And so my present knowledge didn't include very much church knowledge. And the second point, don't depend on your present knowledge to make a decision. Sometimes you need to dig in and research into something before you make a decision. So if you think you're a know-it-all, you're ripe to be deceived because you're not going to be spending the time to research into things. You'll just assume your present knowledge is all the knowledge that you need. Don't depend on the ministry alone for all the answers. Realize that they are men as well. Be aware of attractive ideas. And again, that goes back to Eve again, where Satan plays on people's pride. And so if there's an attractive idea out there, one that you think is kind of neat, sometimes it's just appealing to your vanity or your prejudice. Admit that you like to be stroked. It's great to have someone like Satan saying, you know, boy, you look great out there today, Jim, and boy, the comments you made were just crisp and right on. Admit that you like to be complimented, respected, and realize that sometimes people will use that to try to manipulate you. Beware of brand new ideas and put God in your knowledge. Again, I'll not read any of those other points, but please take some time to go through them. And if you're interested, let me know, and I can let you know where the sermons are available if you wanted to hear those sermons, full sermons presented. The last page is something that exists on CGI Canada. I created a set of web pages dealing with dangers that exist in society. And some of the dangers include things like Islam, and some of the dangers include things like Marxism. This particular one is talking about the dangers of the tools of deceivers. And what I list there, so in this part of the handout, or this part of the web page, it shows all the different materials on the CGI website that people can click on, whether it's sermons or booklets that talk about deception, that, again, give you more equipment, give you another tool for your toolkit so that you won't be deceived. And again, down here is some other materials that are not necessarily from our website, but have information about deception that is important. So with that, I'll just encourage people to avail themselves of the reading the that third page or the fourth page, fifth page, and check out the website and have a look at some of those materials that are available to ensure that you won't be deceived when things around us start to get cloudier. Final hymn, it's going to be projected, so we'll just wait for the projector to get fired up. Looks like Margaret's already fired up. The closing hymn will be "These Are the Days of Elijah," and afterwards I'll ask for Eric to come forward for the closing prayer. After Eric does the closing prayer, then Denise will give us the announcements. If everyone could rise, please.